Ryan Seacrest here. So every great barbecue takes a little patience. And while the food does its thing, you can enjoy a little Chumba Casino. The perfect recipe. Chumba Casino. Always good to have you back.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. If you love great games and a little extra excitement to your day, I got something fun for you. Chumba Casino and I have teamed up to create an exclusive online social casino game. It's called Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's fun and free to play, just like all your favorites from Chumba Casino. And every spin brings 10,000 ways to keep the good times going. Check it out and play for free today at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Colts Hidden Killers Investigates. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Welcome to part three in our series. Today we're going to be taking a look at the ATI, the homeschool system, training centers, and what it did to children who grew up inside that level of IBLP control. If you have a story to share, we'd love to hear it in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. And as always, please press subscribe wherever you're listening or watching so you don't miss anything in our series here. Let's start here. Picture this, a girl sits on a bus headed to an IBLP conference in Knoxville, Tennessee. Another student turns her head and asks a question that in any other context would be bizarre. But in inside this world, it lands like an accusation. What's wrong with your mom? Why only two kids? In IBLP families, the size of your family was a spiritual metric. Having fewer children meant something was broken spiritually, physically, maybe morally. Birth control was rejected. God's blessing was measured in births. Abundance meant faithfulness. And this girl who had spent her childhood memorizing scripture, completing daily wisdom searches, and analyzing her own character for deficiencies before she was old enough to drive, carried the weight of that question with her for years, because inside the system, everything, even the number of children your mother bore, was a referendum on your family's obedience to God. She was being raised for one purpose: not college, not a career, not independence, not self-discovery. She was being groomed to become a submissive wife and mother, trained in domestic skills and ministry support, her identity wrapped entirely around purity, modesty, and readiness to serve a husband she hadn't met yet. College was actively discouraged in her homeschool community until she reached college age, and then the justification shifted. Suddenly, it was acceptable, but only because she might need a degree someday if her husband fell ill and she had to earn income. Her education wasn't for her. It was a backup plan for his potential leak in the umbrella, potential failure. The curriculum that filled her days was designed to make her useful inside the system, but completely incapable outside of it. This was the Advanced Training Institute, ATI, the homeschooling arm of the Institute in Basic Life Principles. And to understand what it did to the children who grew up inside it, you have to understand that it wasn't a school in any meaningful sense. It was a production system designed to create the next generation of obedient members. ATI was launched in 1984, and it wasn't something you could just sign up for. Families had to attend both the basic and advanced seminars before they were even eligible to enroll. The curriculum was not available to the general public. It was a closed system, and that closure was deliberate, both practically and ideologically. Once inside, families received the wisdom booklets. There were 54 of them. They tied math, science, history, law, and geography to Bill Gothard's personal interpretations of biblical passages. Every subject was filtered through a theoretical lens that prioritized obedience, authority, and the rejection of secular frameworks. The sciences were taught through a creationist filter. History was framed through American Christian exceptionalism. Law was derived from biblical literalism. Critical thinking, the ability to evaluate evidence, question claims, and form independent conclusions, was not a feature of the curriculum. Like, that's just not getting in there. Like, woo! We're not going to do that. We don't want to, like, no. It was the threat the curriculum was designed to neutralize. The educational outcomes reflected exactly what the system intended. One former member shared in a documentary that she only learned fractions in math, and her father said that was sufficient because it was all she needed to bake. Another described her education as a series of spiritual exercises dressed up as academic subjects. The wisdom booklets didn't produce students who could compete academically, enter higher education, or navigate the job market. They produced believers who could recite scripture, identify character deficiencies, and perform compliance. The social environment reinforced all of it with surgical precision. ATI families developed their own internal language, terms like wisdom search, Rima, motivational gift, and Gothard gap, because part of the shared vocabulary that instantly identified insiders from outsiders were those words. Families measured status by how long they'd been enrolled. Kids who'd been in ATI the longest carried social currency that had nothing to do with accomplishment or character. It was proximity to the origin, loyalty measured in years. The annual conference in Knoxville drew over 15,000 attendees at its peak. Jesus Christ. Literally, what the fuck? For many ATI kids, this was their social world. These were the only people who understood their cult, their language, their rules, and the invisible pressure that governed every interaction. Friendships with people outside the system were spiritually suspect. The isolation wasn't incidental. It was structural. But the real story of what happened to these children isn't in the booklets or the conferences. It's in the training centers. IBLP operated facilities across the country in Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Texas, and beyond. These were the places where young people from ATI families were sent to work. Some went voluntarily, motivated by the belief that serving Gothard's organization was the highest form of spiritual service. Others were sent by parents who saw it as a character training. And some, particularly at the Indianapolis Training Center, were court-remanded youth sent by judges who believed the program was a legitimate faith-based alternative for troubled teenagers. Good job doing your homework there, judges. The city of Indianapolis had partnered directly with the IBLP to make this happen. The working conditions were brutal by any standard outside a system that had refined labor as worship. Former staff members described 14-hour days with no overtime pay, no labor protections, and no expectation of rest. One former leader reflecting after he'd left and found work at a normal organization described the relief of finally being somewhere that believes in things like overtime pay. IBLP published a teaching that productive, successful people do not need free time. That wasn't motivational advice. It was a labor policy dressed in spiritual language applied to young people, many of them minors, many, many from other states who worked because they believed idleness was sin and rest was self-indulgence. An organization with tens of millions of dollars at the time functioned significantly on their unpaid effort. Slave labor, basically. And the theological framework ensured they wouldn't push back, because in Gothard's system, demanding fair treatment was pride, and pride was a gateway to every other sin. The labor wasn't coerced with threats of physical punishment alone. It was coerced with the most effective tool available, the belief that compliance was righteousness and resistance was rebellion against God himself. The Indianapolis Training Center was the site of the most documented abuses. In 2001, investigative journalist Karen Hansel began looking into reports of mistreatment at the facility. Reporters used hidden cameras and uncovered allegations of children and teenagers being paddled with wooden implements and placed in solitary confinement in what the staff called the prayer room. You know, like Josh or Joseph is calling his cell now when he's on those lovely calls with his wife. One former resident described being restrained with duct tape, hands behind her back, feet bound together, then her hands tied to her feet, and left in that position for hours. When she attempted to call police, the phone was taken from her. When reporters showed up at the facility, all the doors were allegedly locked. No one was allegedly allowed in or out, and residents were ordered to their rooms. The press was not permitted to enter. That's the allegation. The state of Indiana opened a Child Protective Service investigation. A judge temporarily stopped referring youth to the facility pending review. The program's director told reporters they had recently stopped the practice of spanking children, reframing it as a policy change. But documents indicated the practice had been ongoing for years. A 1995 internal document surfaced showing that the center had been aware a 14-year-old girl made a allegation against another resident. The public investigation ultimately concluded without criminal charges, and a city council resolution later apologized to IBLP for the negative publicity and encouraged continued referrals. The institution that had locked its doors when reporters arrived received an apology from the city government for the inconvenience of being investigated. Alert Academy in Big Sandy, Texas, was another arm of the operation, marketed as a training program for young men, something positioned between Boy Scouts and a spiritual boot camp and the seventh layer of hell. Alert required participants to shave their heads, submit to prolonged isolation from outside contact, engaged in hard physical labor, and restricted communication with family. Medical care was reportedly discouraged when injuries occurred. The program lasted months. Former participants described conditions that mirror patterns identified across the troubled teen industry, a sector that has faced increased scrutiny for isolation, labor extraction, and emotional manipulation of minors under the guise of character development. Behind all of it was the Medical Training Institute of America, an IBLP offshoot that published health pamphlets heavily on spiritual advice and virtually devoid of any actual medical guidance, despite the word medical being in its title. In one early pamphlet, Gothard suggested that parents should be allowed to speak with their doctor's previous patients about similar conditions, a recommendation that would violate fundamental medical privacy protections. But in the world of Bill, anything's possible. The message was consistent with the broader IBLP approach. Secular expertise was dangerous, and the organization's framework was sufficient to replace it. Psychology and mental health received the most destructive treatment because, goddamn, that's going to expose us. The IBLP worldview had no room for clinical depression, anxiety disorders, or trauma responses, all of which a majority of its members probably suffer from. Because they create it, they cultivate it. They are a clinical depression, anxiety disorder, trauma factory. But in their world, it don't exist, in my opinion. Emotional struggle was a spiritual problem, evidence of unconfessed sin, insufficient obedience, or a failure to stay under the umbrella. Children raised in the system had no vocabulary for what they were feeling. They had no framework for understanding that the fear, the shame, the constant self-surveillance, and the anxiety that ate them might be symptoms of something the system itself was causing. Mental health care wasn't just discouraged, it was conceptually invisible. It didn't exist as a legitimate category in a world where all human suffering was attributed to spiritual warfare. It's the enemy. The result was a generation of young adults who left the system. Those who managed to leave and discovered they were profoundly unprepared for the world outside. They couldn't pass standardized tests. They had no work history that translated beyond religious organizations. They lacked foundational knowledge in science, mathematics, and critical thinking. They had been trained to analyze their own character for deficiencies, but had never been taught to analyze an argument, evaluate a source, or form an independent opinion about anything that actually mattered. The social damage ran just as deep. Children raised in ATI learned that relationships outside the system were spiritually dangerous. They were taught that the outside world was hostile, corrupted, and governed by forces that actively wanted to destroy their faith and their families. They had no practice navigating friendships with people who thought differently, no experience with disagreement that wasn't framed as rebellion, and no model for intimacy that wasn't controlled by a father and filtered through a courtship system designed to prevent independent emotional attachment. Even within the system, friendships were curated and monitored. Emotional closeness with peers was viewed with suspicion if it competed with loyalty to family authority. The isolation wasn't just from the outside world. It extended to the relationships between children inside the movement itself. Some of these children are now in their 30s and 40s, still rebuilding Recovering Grace, the support community founded in 2011 by adults who were raised inside ATI. It remains active. The stories on that site reflect the scope of the damage. People describe spending a decade or more unlearning the beliefs that were presented to them as absolute, divinely mandated truth during their most formative years. They describe the disorientation of realizing that the educational foundation they were given was intentionally incomplete. Not because their parents didn't care, but because the system was designed to keep them inside the walls. The education wasn't broken. It was functioning perfectly. It just wasn't designed to serve the children. It was designed to serve the machine. ATI officially ceased operating as an enrollment program in 2021. Some wisdom booklets are now available for individual purchase. The infrastructure has contracted, but the children it produced are still carrying what it gave them and what it deliberately withheld. That girl on the bus in Knoxville, the one that asked what was wrong with her mom for only having two kids, she spent over a decade after leaving trying to recover. She didn't just lose an education. She lost a childhood. She lost the ability to trust her own mind. And the system that took those things from her told her it was God's will the whole time. Your thoughts, and maybe your experiences, maybe you're a survivor of this. I can guarantee there's more than one that is listening to this or watching this right now that would probably love to hear from you if you've survived and have some thoughts. Reach out a hand in the comment section. We got a great community of people who've come from all different worlds, realizing the world they came from is not what it was cracked up to be, whether it be this or you name it. And there's a great community there in our comment section on Substack and YouTube that dive into this stuff with a lot of support. So I do highly suggest participating there. We do read the comments, and I'd love to continue our conversation there as well. The links are in our description, Substack and YouTube, the two places where we have our conversations in the comments there. Please do join us and do press subscribe on YouTube and wherever you get podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you go, hit subscribe right now while you're thinking of it. There's two more parts in our series here about exposing the IBLP. Next, escape, aftermath, and the survivors who rebuilt from nothing. Their story is coming up. Press subscribe so you don't miss it. I'm Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Ryan Seacrest here. So every great barbecue takes a little patience. And while the food does its thing, you can enjoy a little Chumba Casino. The perfect recipe. Chumba Casino. Always good to have you back.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Ryan Seacrest here. Every great barbecue has one secret ingredient. Patience. You do a little, and you wait a little. And while your dinner does its thing, you got a few minutes to yourself, right? Well, kick back with a little Chumba Casino. A flip and a spin. Who knows? Maybe even a login bonus. It is the perfect recipe. Chumba Casino. Always good to have you back.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Ryan Seacrest here. So every great barbecue takes a little patience. And while the food does its thing, you can enjoy a little Chumba Casino. The perfect recipe. Chumba Casino. Always good to have you back.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.